This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G's, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, standing 6'2". 300 and something pounds, it's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born. Abortion is healthcare. Fuck yeah, brother. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is a dog, not my brother. He is not currently present because my wife has about five friends over in the living room, I'm realizing, as I'm screaming all this bullshit. More importantly, also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, he's handsome, he's fucking hysterical, we're old school code fam, put your motherfucking hands together for Matteo Lee!
Isn't that so funny, all of us who came from Girl Code?
I know, it's like, I'm like the least successful person from the code family. Everyone that's was on Guy Code with me is a millionaire now. Like, Andrew Schultz, like, runs, like, lower Manhattan.
Runs the world. Andrew Schultz runs the world. No, if you think about it, we've got to be honest. They did pick a good cruise. You, me, Nicole Byer, Charlamagne, Andrew Schultz, Awkwafina, Carly, like, you know.
Dan Soder, Pete Davidson.
Dan Soder, Pete Davidson. My God. It's like, you know, I was like, wow, they really got it right. Akash was on it. I mean, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. Great. Yeah. And look at us now, dropping comedy specials, hosting podcasts.
Really just doing it, aren't we?
We're just living the fucking dream, Matteo.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked to have you on. This is so fun. I love engaging with someone's manager's assistant and also knowing them personally. It makes me feel like a power player. You know, I feel like we've grown up. You know,
well, to tell you the truth, it's like I'm doing about 8 billion podcasts to promote this special, and I've been in 4 cities in 1 week. So it's like,
I have no judgment, by the way. This is the fucking dream, dude.
I know. I just want to let you know, I'm like, the only way this is going to happen is if I had someone else schedule it, because otherwise, I'm like, my agent will call me and be like, did you get my email? I said, under no circumstances. I said, I don't read emails. So, stop sending them to me.
Nobody's got time for that shit. It's fucking chest and tries day.
Today was shoulders and arms.
Ooh, so what are? So we call that the bro split. If you break up like the body, if you break up your workouts like in body parts, like bodybuilder style. Are you on a 3 day a week or a 4 day a week or?
I go 5 days a week. I see my trainer. His name is Damon Bell. I see him every day.
Shout out, Mr. Bell. Damn.
Damon Bell, who's from Australia. Hello. All right.
And, God, I'm just trying to picture you two working. I'm trying not to picture you two working out because I cannot. I need to stay focused on this interview.
You would think it's really homoerotic, but we really are just talking about Sailor Moon dolls and Ab Fab, the TV show in London. Absolutely fabulous. So, you know, it's not as sexy as you would think.
Damn it. All right, fine. I'll have to do a little fiction. Wait, so you go 5 days a week, and are you breaking up your workouts by body parts? Like, do you have, like, buys and tries? Today was shoulders, buys and tries.
Yeah, well, today was a bit of a mix because it's like, you know, you do legs, and I try and do chest, like, twice a week because that's a hard muscle for me to grow. And, you know, buys, tries, shoulders, back, you know, you just kind of like keep, yeah. I just follow what he tells me to do.
And what kind of like set rep scheme does he have you on? Like high, like 8 to 12s or like low rep, high weight? Or are you mixing it up?
He mixes it up, yeah.
Ooh,
this guy sounds like,
oh, that's the most, as they say, abs are made in the kitchen, right? Like, that's why I've never figured out my diet. That's why I can bench 225 for reps, but am 300 pounds.
That's a lot of, I don't know how much I could, the most I can do, okay, I'm really bad at math, 45 pounds is the bar, and then 45, 45, 25, 25, 5, and 5.
So 195.
So I can bench press 195.
Hell yeah, dog. Please. That's over your body weight, right? That's fucking legit.
I weigh 177.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Damn, Mateo. Look, I it comes up because you're in a gorgeous white tank top and showing some nice chest and arm separation here. This is like a nice legit look on the fucking upper body and some trap development, bro.
I know my traps are getting bigger too, but yeah. I'm also a little sunburned, so yeah, you know.
That helps, I think. That gives you that old school bodybuilding color, like those guys who used to be like neon orange.
Red with acne. That's really the look I'm going for.
Beet red, bald, fucking spray on hair, like full fucking HGH'd out.
I just got hair transplants. They all just grew in. Isn't that crazy?
What?
Yeah. I got them in August. I call my special hair plugs in heartbreak, and it's literally because I got hair. The first thing out of my mouth in the specials, I say, I got hair transplants. And then I do like a 15-minute bit about balding and what you go through balding and getting the surgery and the after the surgery and the recovery and the whole thing.
Oh, I can't fucking wait to watch. That's terrifying. That seems like a procedure that would scare me. Was it super easy?
Well, I don't remember the procedure. I went to a doctor in New York. I didn't want to go to Turkey. And I didn't want to sit in a plane with a swollen head like a Mars Attacks alien. Like, ack, ack. So I did it here. I got it done here in New York. And I got a really good doctor. And but they, you know, they say that they're not going to put you under. They're going to give you just enough meds to kind of like, you know, doze off when you want to. Like, they numb you and everything. But I have no drug tolerance because I don't do drugs and I don't drink. So they gave me 2 Valium and an Ambien, and I was out for 10 hours. I didn't wake up once. Isn't that crazy?
You woke up at the barber shop with like shoulder length hair, getting a trim. Like, where have I been? Like, you recorded a special, dude. You're like, what the fuck was I on?
Well, I said in my special, I'm like, I can't believe I slept for 10 hours. I'm like, and also they must have had like a lunch break or something. Like, are they just eating a Caesar salad over my dead body? Like, this queen can't hold her liquor. Like, what is wrong with me?
Well, it looks fucking awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I went full blown with it. I mean, it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But
that's an investment,
it's worth it.
Though. It's an investment.
It is an investment because, I mean, I hope people watch it and then it allows me to own all of my own material,
which
is the biggest thing because, like, when you do stuff for, like, the streaming services, you know, you don't own it. So you can't post what you want. You don't have the liberty to do what you want with the material. And to me, I'm like, okay, they're also not guaranteeing, like, advertisement. So it's like, I have, like, it's kind of a scary risk. So, like, at least with YouTube, I'm like, I have a substantial YouTube following, and then I can share it. I just want people to see the jokes. That's all I care about.
Well, also, like, take it from someone who had a travel show that came out on a network, and then that network folded, and then became a streamer, and then the streamer changed its name, and no one cares about it, and no one who worked on it from the studio even works there anymore because of massive layoffs. Take it from me. 101 Places to Party Before You Die, now deeply hidden on Max, but if it was on YouTube and we owned it, it would feel a lot better. You know, we would still have a place to go.
Well, YouTube is really, I think, underrated. It really is. Everybody watches YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm older than you, but the younger generation, my brother, like, listens to podcasts on YouTube. He, like,
How old are you, John?
I'm 41.
Oh, damn. Okay, yeah. I'm about to turn 37.
Ooh, you young buck. I'm so envious.
We met when I was 26.
I know, dude. I mean, even I was old on Guy Code because just by default of how young everyone else was, I was like 34 or whatever, 33, and I was the old dog. I was always like my wife. Back in my day, we used to say even worse things about women than we're currently saying on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember.
Were you just Guy Code? Because I think because I'm gay, I was on both.
Yeah, you got to do both. A little stolen by Valor. I did just Guy Code, and then like a couple of random Girl Code like specials and stuff like that, and then Guy Court and all those fucking insane.
It honestly was such a great gig. You show up. You, Monica and Bethany were makeup and were great, you know, and you put on an outfit, you sit down, someone asks you a bunch of questions, you just try and be silly, and then that's it. I mean, it was, it really kind of like, I mean, I don't know that you could replicate that again, also with the cast. My God. So
that was accidentally like, wow, all these people are in New York and willing to write and perform material for us for a severe underpaying of a non-union gig.
Oh,
and
we got paid nothing.
We got paid nothing. And I will say that that's one of those things where you hear about, like, that show aired all day, every day on MTV2, and we couldn't even get a fucking nickel of that. And we were coming up with everything we said, too. And it's funny, people are, like, striking now, and I'm like, yeah, that would have been fucking sick for us if we had, like, any residuals built into that show.
Zero residuals. We got paid absolutely nothing. We wrote all of our own material.
I would have gotten chest hair plugs by now if I had that money. I want chest hair so bad. I'll give you... I got a pretty solid head of hair still. If you need more, I'll hook you up if you give me some chest hair. I want chest hair so bad.
I just shaved mine down, but you know, it's like, it's sort of like coming back in.
Yeah. I have like absolutely none, and I have not shaved it since high school swimming.
Damn. What was your ethnic background?
I'm half Italian and half, like, my dad doesn't know his real dad and his mom was a liar. So we think we're German because his stepdad was German. But
have you done the 23andMe?
We haven't. No one in my family has, because we're all afraid it's going to, like, because we don't know my dad's real parents, and we're going to end up being like, oh, fuck, it's like a serial killer or some shit. So the less we know,
we're
the better.
Italian. There's plenty of killers in our family.
My mom's side's from Naples. I mean, we're
same.
Sick.
I was just in Naples a month ago, and I don't speak Napolitano, which is the language they speak there. I mean,
it's
people
different
can't
than Italian.
So in Italy, there's 34 different languages. There's the national language Italian, which I'm fluent in, right? And everyone has to learn Italian, like, at school and stuff like that. But then, like, in Naples, for example, they speak a dialect. It's literally a language because it doesn't relate to Italian, called Napolitano. And I can't speak it. And I was in Naples a month ago with my friend Tizzetta, and I was in this cab, and this cab driver, he was like in his early hundreds, and he was trying to talk to me about my nonna, who's from Naples. And he was like, but I just kept hearing, like, I'm like, what? And I kept saying it to him, like, what are you trying to say? I'm like, oh my God. So, but yeah, I'm Napolitan.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I didn't know it was a language, but I know that, like, my pop-up used to say, Napolitan, Johnny. And they were the Valentinos, and they wanted me, because once I decided I wanted to do, like, comedy or be an actor or work in entertainment, my family all wanted me to change my name to John Valentino so I could be Johnny Valentino. I was like, I think that's stolen Ginzo honor at that point.
What a bunch of guineas. My God.
I know.
Johnny Valentino.
Oh, my mom's whole side of the family were all union stagehands on Broadway and, like, in New York.
Really?
They're all the most Italian job. You know, it's like mafia adjacent. Like, they come over and they get each other the jobs. My grandfather was a freight elevator operator. He just did, like, an elevator up and down all day long at Fox 5. And we just got my dad a job there. All his brothers, the whole Valentino family, every male Valentino family member, all worked on for IATSE, like stagehand shit.
My grandma's grandpa, who he sat in the back of the truck with a gun to distribute alcohol during Prohibition in Chicago with Al Capone.
That's some legit Ginzo shit there. That's some real pride, man.
Yeah, my grandpa, who's Sicilian, there's no, like, nothing. Like, there's no Sicilian mafia stories, nothing. They're just kind of like, they just live in a town in Sicily that had an earthquake 60 years ago, and they don't stop talking about it. That's pretty much the history of his town. But my grandma's family, it's like mysteries and murder and mafia. And it's like, oh my God.
Everyone in my family on both sides dies so young that we don't get a lot of, like, legends passed on. But I remember my great-grandfather, Tino. And now I'm thinking about it, his name is maybe it was Tino Valentino, or maybe Tino was his name. Baffaculo, get the fuck. The only thing I remember about him is that his hands were so big, he used to put them on his head and his, like, fingers would come down to it. I mean, I met him when I was like, he died when I was like five, but I remember his just hands were fucking enormous.
And that was like terrifying. He would be like, put it on your head and it would go down all the way over your face. He'd put it on his own head. He could like palm a fucking basketball. He had like these giant like masonry hands. It was fucking terrifying.
My blood grandfather is actually Mexican from Mexico.
Hell yeah.
And he had 5 kids with my grandma and then 5 kids with another woman and named all the kids the same name so he didn't confuse them. So my grandmother stopped talking to him, obviously. So I'm like, I'm a quarter Mexican and I have no idea. Like, we did 23andMe and my mom, it's like recent ancestries in Central America, Mexico. And it shows like 60 cousins my mom has, like all like Lisa Gonzalez and like all these people. I'm like, Ma, we should try and reach out to these people. They're your cousins. She's like, I don't know what I would say. You know?
That's really funny. Actually, two of my cousins, randomly, this is such a dumb story, but you just made me want to tell it. One family cousins in the Valentino family, they put up a kid for adoption because they got pregnant very young, but they ended up staying together and they have 3 kids. So there is another kid who's like a blood relative of theirs out there, raised by another family. They found each other late in life. This kid was like 45 now at this point. He came out to Long Island to meet like all of his blood relatives that he had like only like, you know, because his adopted parents were okay with it and all this. So he comes to meet up and my cousin, one of the Valentinos, is like, get this shit. Everyone in the family is a fucking stagehand. This guy's a cancer research scientist. Makes you think, huh? And I was like, yeah, dude, it makes you think maybe we should have all gotten off Long Island. Sounds like these guys got like just by
Like, actually, it didn't make us think. That's why we're stagehands.
We're not thinking. That's why we're still here doing fucking blue-collar jobs, brother.
My mom met her other brothers and sisters with the same names at their dad's funeral.
That's fucking wild.
So, you know, she's one of 7, but she's probably one of like 13. And then my first cousin is some Mexican guy named, well, I don't want to say his name, but there's my first cousin at 23andMe. And I'm like, oh, okay. But it's actually my uncle because technically he's my uncle who's younger than me because my grandpa kept having kids.
Bro, that's crazy. Yeah, that's always a fun vibe when your nephew is older than you. Like, I like shit like that.
Well, I went on a Mexican TV show called Noches con Platanito, and
Do you speak Spanish too a little bit?
I do speak Spanish, but they the host, it's like a late night show like Letterman, except the host just is a clown. He doesn't do any clown things.
He's just dressed like a clown, yeah.
Right. Trying to conduct an interview like Letterman. And then they're like his sidekick was this old guy who would just go, And they asked me about that story and I said it, and then his response about this traumatic story was, so like, how smart is your grandpa? And then the whole audience clapped and I was like, this is fucking wild.
Okay. Mi abuelo le gusta fucking.
Yeah. Mucho.
Ay, mucho fucking en mi familia.
Well, I'm sort of reconnecting with my Mexican history because I'm dating a Mexican guy now and he lives in Mexico City. So I've been going to Mexico City to see him, and I'm like practicing my Spanish again. And I'm like, wow, I forgot that I'm Mexican. That's kind of cool.
That's so fun, man. That's so fun. I'm recording this ad at 8:28 in the morning. So far, all I have in my system is some water, some blood pressure medication, and my AG1. I take AG1, Athletic Greens AG1, every morning, and I like it because it's a way to get some supplements and some vitamins in without having to take pills, because first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, pills make me a little nauseous, and I don't want to eat breakfast. I like to skip breakfast. I'm doing a little bit of something like an intermittent fasting. So every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced ingredients of the highest quality that give me benefits like gut, mood support, boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. My AG1 is delivered to me every month, so it's easy to make it a daily habit. I just mix it with some water. And look, you're going to hear me say this again and again because this is the most important thing. It's a very easy first step in the morning to start making healthy choices. You know, it's a minor thing, But once you make that healthy choice, it begets more and more healthy choices. Plus, it's 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, and it's a bunch of water, you know? You know, it's, if you've been sleeping, if you're doing it first thing in the morning, you've been sleeping. It's been, 7 to 9 hours since you had some fluids. So you get your AG1, you get your vitamins, minerals, and whole food ingredients, and you get some water. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/mighty. Check it out. That's a great combo too, Mexican and Italian, two of my favorite cuisines. I know that's not how you're supposed to break down cultures, but for
but
real.
My dad ruins it. My dad's Irish, can't cook. Actually, I will say this: my dad can cook for an Irishman, but they're not like tati tatar. Like they're like six generations in America.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom's family is like wahoo, you know. So it was like. Definitely. But the thing is, like, I was raised by my mom's family. Like, I mean, we all grew up in the same block. I have, all, like, 34 first cousins. It was just, like, I just grew up being, like, oh, yeah, I'm Italian. And then, like, I, like, meet my dad's family, who are the nicest people, but they're, like, strangers.
Well,
I'm, like,
also,
who are you people?
Where did you grow up?
Suburbs of Chicago and Orange Heights.
Yeah, see, I grew up on Long Island, a.k.a., like, suburbs of New York City. And I'm only half Italian, but my childhood was like Italian culture exclusively because like the my mom's side hosted everything. My dad was like, you know, just like WT is like his parent. My dad, my pop-up worked at a deli. My grandma didn't work. And so like they were not like everything we did was Italian. So I never even like had this German culture of my I got German culture from my dad's stepdad. But we don't know my dad's real dad, so we don't know what blood we are. So we would do like Jägermeister shots with Pop-Pop on that side. But it's everything we did was Italian. So I feel like no matter what you are, that kind of is a dominant cult because of how powerful Nona could be. Yeah.
Right. It's a it's a dominant culture. I mean, really, it's like it will
it's
take
like, no,
over
no, no, no,
anything.
No. Sit down. I'll cook. Sit down. Yeah. Sit down. I'll make all the food for this party this weekend. Yeah.
But also, too, I think, like, to me, my interpretation or my perspective of it is, like, whatever the mother is what the kids are. Because it's, like, the mother's raising the kids. I mean, I know dads, like, now pretend to be, like, fatherly and stuff. But dads don't. They're not. My dad. I mean, I love my dad. But my dad. I mean, he worked, and that was about it. He yelled every once in a while. Okay, you know, he's a Vietnam vet. My mom, it was
so
like...
So we're close enough in age that we have that generation of father, you know, like...
Right, which was more than their dads did. Like,
oh,
you know, like,
and they really prided themselves on doing slightly more than their dads, or in my dad's case, being slightly less abusive than his father was. Like, you think me slapping you on the ass is a problem? Well, my dad used to hit me with a belt and be like, okay, how about... Just none of it, though, bro.
How about none of it? Stop throwing spoons at us. But yeah, so it's like, whatever. I just don't know his whatever. I don't know. I didn't connect.
So that's funny because like that's a quarter of my family I don't really know. So like, and then Italian culture becomes super dominant. And then, like, you know, being raised my dad not being religious, my mom being Catholic, that kind of dominates us then. And so it's like we're doing those at holidays and my Adele and
did you do the Night of the Seven Fishes?
No, but I've in the last 3 years over pandemic with my wife, we've started doing it.
Is
ourselves.
Your wife Italian?
Her family's Italian and Portuguese. So like
what a combo.
Yeah. and they're all crazy cooks. And so we were like, it was the first Christmas we weren't gonna be going back to her house or my house. And we were like, fuck, what are we going to do? I'm like, babe, this is a chance for us to set our own traditions. Let's pick traditions we want to do. And now on Christmas Eve, we do a Feast of the Seven Fishes with a couple of cop-out moves in there.
Well, I'm allergic to seafood, so I always had to eat cotoletta.
My sister, we
didn't really do Night of the Seven Fishes growing up. And then my sister for a while dated this Italian guy. So Christmas Eve, we would join their family. And it was like so Ginzo-y. My poor dad. And her ex-boyfriend's family, none of them spoke English. So that was fun because it was like just to go and chat in Italian and stuff. But they would do the Night of the Seven Fishes, but they would make, because kids don't like seafood, they would make extra red sauce with no seafood in it. And then they would make cotoletta, like, you know, chicken cutlets.
Yeah.
And that's, so it was like, every adult was like standing in line trying to get like shrimp and octopus and this. And it was me and like 7 5-year-olds like waiting in line, like with my plate to get
Yeah, you still don't, you're still allergic to seafood. So even as a grown up, you're getting the dino nuggets on Christmas Eve or whatever.
That's right. That's right. And I have no shame about it too.
Although I'll say chicken cutlet is one of my favorite foods of all time, and it is absolutely not that prevalent on the West Coast. Here in Los Angeles, it is in New York or in the tri-state area, you can get a chicken cutlet at any deli. Like you can get like made chicken cutlets at any deli on a sandwich. You can get a tray. You can get parm. You can get it with mayo and lettuce, bacon and cheese. Here on the West Coast, you can't find it. Like that. Like it's not.
Do you like living in LA?
I love it. But for the last 4 months, we've had really shitty weather here. And it's just been like New York level, like winter depressing. And now New York is also turned and it's beautiful there. And it's still not nice here. And I'm starting to have like, I'm paying an insane amount of rent. I'm so far away from my family. This is costing a fortune. And no. I'm not getting the fucking playtime Hollywood bullshit of like gorgeous weather. When I don't have it, what the fuck am I living here for?
I know. I mean, I have to be honest with you because, you know, Nicole Byer is one of my best friends. And she's like, why? And Bob the Drag Queen of Monet Exchange. When are you coming to L.A.? When are you moving to L.A.? And I was like, I will never move to L.A. I would rather be dragged into the street face first for 10 miles and get killed then live in Los Angeles.
Bro, I'll tell you why. A good excuse is Italian culture, like stopped at Chicago. They didn't need to go much further.
Not even the Italian culture. It's just like the way of living. Like I don't want to be in a car. I don't like the stained yellow sun all day. The strip malls, I live in the West Village. I love looking out and seeing a city that as second I walk out my house, the adventure begins.
Like a gay Italian American who speaks fluent Italian living in the West Village is like, why the fuck would you come to SoCal? It makes total sense. But like trying to get like get a fucking hero bread. It's like there's a few places do semolina. A few places are doing cutlets. A few places do a full blown like Italian combo here, like with the mortadella and everything. It's impossible to find that shit out here. And me and my wife, we talk about it all the time because that's what we grew up on. And we're like, oh shit, it's like Italians got to Chicago. And we're like, this is plenty far. Let's just, there's no Little Italy in Los Angeles.
Well, Italians are very similar to Jewish people and Italians, I think, are very similar. It's like you really only find us in cities. New York, Chicago.
Very urban people.
And right. Philly, Miami. But then, L.A., there's Italians and Jews, but not as
But brought there
like,
by Hollywood.
Right. And it's not. It's,
and Jews and Italians, they have that famous Hollywood pact that Jewish actors are allowed to play Italian characters and Italian characters are allowed to play Italian actors.
We're so culturally the same. Like, yeah. We're so similar.
Weird mom shit. Weird guilt. Weird anxiety. Yeah.
We look the same.
Yeah. Food-based culture. And I always just like. That to me was New Yorkiness, but then you like zoom out and there's like layers of it's because a lot of Italians and Jews are New Yorkers or Chicago people. And then when you like think about it more, it's like, oh, weirdly enough, it goes like deeper into the culture. There's a lot like just the food is love and concern. I've impressed people my entire life. I mean, this is a whole nother topic, but I've impressed people my entire life with my appetite, like in-laws. Grandma's friends. Oh, Jonathan, look how much you eat. I'm like, I'll have another bowl. And they're like, oh, yeah, I love you. Ay, que lindo. You know, I'm just consuming fucking my Cuban friends, just eating food and his abuela going ape shit for how much rice I'm having. And like that obviously fucked me up to the point now where I have high blood pressure and some high level.
It was worth it. It was worth it for those reactions.
Dude, my in-laws love me. My father-in-law loved me. He was a cook. He loved me because I'd be like, yo, these lamb chops are sick, and have like 8 of them. And he'd be like, yo, this guy's got an appetite. Talking to his daughter, like talking to my wife, like, you got yourself a nice boy here. He's able to eat a lot. And I was like, yes. And now I'm like, sweating on the staircase, taking the escalator everywhere.
It's like that old Ray Romano joke where he's like, here's how it works with an Italian mother. If you want a little bit of food, you say you don't want any more food. If you really don't want food, you have to kill her.
It's sort of true. It's unstoppable. And also, if there's leftovers, trying to leave someone's house, I don't think Italian people understand this. I don't know if your family does this, but like, I'm sure it's, I cannot leave a place without like, no, take this big tray of ziti with you. I'm like, I'm going on the train to fucking back to Brooklyn. Come on, please. What do you, oh, I know, Johnny, you love chicken cutlets. Look, I've wrapped five up in tinfoil. Here, put them in your backpack next to your laptop. It's like, no, I can't have this. I don't need this. But like family.
The amount of meatballs and lasagna after Christmas that I bring home. And I do. I devour it.
I fucking love
fun.
It.
It's like, it's, yeah, I love it.
I used to get a tray of meatballs as my birthday present every year from my grandma. She was like pretty poor, but she knew I loved meatballs. And I
love
would,
that.
I would be like.
My Nonna doesn't cook anymore because, you know, she's too, like, she can't, you know what I mean? She's sharp as a whip, but she cannot like physically do a lot of stuff now. But my grandma's meatballs were like, and her lasagna was my favorite.
So. My mom is like the one Italian Catholic Italian Catholic Long Islander that can't cook, but she can do sauce. Like that's just obviously like we and growing up being fucking, you know, like lower, like being fucking trashy little middle class kids. My mom would make sauce on Sunday and then we'd have it on like pasta that night. And then like a night later, we would freeze some. And then a night later, we'd have it on ravioli. A night later, my dad would make chicken cutlets with it. And then like on the fourth night, it would be like soup and sandwich night. And then it would be like the weekend ordering pizza or eating at friend's house. But we got by on like to the point where now a big fat.
You just described my childhood.
But pasta, like I'm like burned on pasta now. Like I
can eat it. First of all. How often are you eating it?
He's so angry with me, folks. For the listeners, he's truly like an emoji angry level.
How many times are you in Italy?
I've only been there once. Obviously, I'm not going to not eat pasta in Italy if I go, you know. When in Rome, or when in Tuscany, or when in Napolital, I'll be there.
I go to Italy. I'm going next, or in 2 weeks, for 2 weeks. And I go every year, probably four times a year.
God damn.
And I eat, not kidding you, two bowls of pasta a day.
Like lunch and dinner, just pasta for lunch?
And dinner. I cannot get enough of it there. I could eat, I don't because I'm trying to be, you know, like gays are like the opposite of Game of Thrones where they're like, winter's coming, we're like, summer's coming, you know. So like, I haven't had a carb in so long, but when I go to Italy, all bets are off. I don't care. I'm going to smoke cigarettes. I'm going to eat pasta. I
dream,
do not care.
Pollock. Oh. That's so fucking awesome. Yeah, I'm exactly. And it is like a very much a carb heavy thing. So I feel like I find myself not eating pasta by choice a lot, but also like I red sauce and like Cheez-Its, unfortunately, were like such a huge part of my childhood that I got burned on it for so long. But now
I'm like that with Pringles. I ate too many Pringles one day, and I'm going to turn my air on. And I was like, oh, I don't think I like Pringles anymore.
Pringles are so artificial tasting, but they have like something special about them that they taste better the more you've eaten in a row. Like if you have one, the first one is awful. Then the second one is way better than the first one, but still not good. But then the third one, then all of a sudden, once you get a momentum going, you're like, these things fucking rule. But if you break and then put another one in, you're like, this is like cardboardy and barely flat. But then you keep, it like forces you to like chain eat them, dude.
The sour cream and onion ones were so good, but also they're
the pizza
like, the
ones, I was obsessed with the pizza ones. Ugh.
The way that they're shaped though is fun to put on your tongue.
Agreed.
Like, and break it. It's a fun food to eat.
It's fun to eat like a duck, right? Like you don't you break it without using your teeth. You just like open your mouth and smash down in your fucking thorax.
It's like church bread where you're just like that little loaf that, you know.
Yeah. Body of sour cream and onion Christ.
Catholics are so fucking weird.
Bro, I was just talking about this the other day, man. It's a real strange vibe. It's a real strange vibe. Like the stuff, you're like, I get it now. I understand like the symbolism of it all, but like when you turn 9, you're able to eat Christ's body for the first time. That feels fucking strange.
Everything about the Catholic Church is gay.
Bitch.
Gay.
Bitch, I'm going to drink your... Ooh, you're so... I love you so much. I want to drink your blood, bitch.
She's serving body, honey. Okay. Thanks, priest. Awful.
When we were kids, we always joked that the Holy Ghost was gay. Because it would always be like the Father and the Son, like, made sense. And then the Holy Ghost would come in as like the wacky neighbor. And that's like, we imagine he was like, look out, it's the ghost, baby, is what we might.
I wish I was like a gay neighbor on a TV show. I want to be like in Bewitched again, you know, where Paul Lind, like the nosy neighbor, like, oh, okay, well, like,
or
that would
Wilson.
Be a dream.
Except you got to show your face. You got to show your
Wilson. Wilson was very gay. He was into like art and culture and stuff. Like,
they always coded those older men who, like, they were like never widows or divorcees. They were always like, they're interesting cultural guys. It's like, come on, guys, just say have a boyfriend, for fuck's sake.
You know, I gotta say, I hate Home Improvement, but I like.
Thank you. You know what? Let's take a moment and just say, I can't believe it. I watched every fucking episode of that show.
I watched
and
every episode.
So bad. I was a kid. I didn't even like it that much when I was young.
But as characters, I liked. Like, I liked Al's character.
Love
I
Al.
Liked Jill a lot. As a kid, I didn't think I liked Jill, but it's because I'm a kid. Then I watched as an adult, and I'm like, oh, Jill is, like, struggling with this family of machismo assholes. Like, just the husband. I don't like Tim Allen, but...
No, it's completely understandable to not like Tim Allen. He is...
I know.
Wildly
but I like
unlikable.
I like Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I like
Zachary
Jill.
Ty
I like
Bryan.
Al. I liked Pamela Anderson was in it for a while. You know, it's like a lot of really like... So, like, I guess there's parts of the show that I did like, but I guess I just don't like Tim Allen. So it's hard to watch a show where he's always the focal point.
Right, he sucks. If you're ever... It's really fun to be around someone named Tim and get to say, I don't think so, Tim. Like, it really feels good. It's, like, really a nice trigger to get into that Al Borland headspace and hit him with the...
Just the whole, like, oh. It's like, oh, my God. Like, what are we teaching people? Like, it's
and the fucking
gross.
Edits. Creak.
Oh, yeah.
Wah, wah. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I could stand by that.
Yeah. That was I liked it. I liked it as a creative choice.
In Chicago, the way it worked is on Fox at night, 5 o'clock was The Simpsons. And then 5:30 was Home Improvement. 6 o'clock was another episode of The Simpsons. And then 6:30 was Seinfeld. So that was the syndicated
shows. That's a
hell
of a block. Yeah.
That was right. So I would watch, because I was obsessed with The Simpsons. I'd watch The Simpsons and then suffer through Home Improvement and then finally get to The Simpsons again.
Dude. That was like when I was younger, it was like it was always like Friends, Seinfeld on and whatever else on Thursdays. Cause I'm a little older, so I was watching it before.
I remember must see TV.
Yeah. And then on Sundays, it was like Simpsons and something else. I forget.
Yes, The Simpsons were on Sunday. And I remember my mom didn't let us watch The Simpsons when we were like really young, but my Aunt Cindy did cause she liked it. So I would purposely go, they live next door. So I'd purposely go to my Aunt Cindy's house on Sunday so I could watch The Simpsons with them.
Well, one of the most Italian-American sentences ever is that my Aunt Cindy lives next door is, like, the realest shit.
I have great parents, and I really feel like they raised me and my cousins like brothers and sisters. And my aunt and uncle feel like my other parents. Like,
we
talk every day, all day. My cousins are still my best friends. We talk all the time. We know everything. And to my grandparents' credit, I love that they don't care that I'm gay. I talk to them about anything. The way I talk to you or I am on stage, I talk to them. Like, I do feel very blessed coming from
that's awesome.
That family. Yeah.
That's really fucking cool. Yeah. It's weirdly like, I feel like, again, like my Italian American side is like weirdly closed-minded, but
well,
also weirdly, that's, it's not the Italian part. It's the trashy Long Island part. Yeah. I think we froze a little.
Oh no,
here.
John, you're frozen. All right, now we're good. Say
we're
something.
Back.
Okay, yes. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Hey.
My wife has a bunch of people in the other room, so my internet's fucking whacked.
What are they over for? They're just hanging out?
She's got a big event this weekend for florals, so she's got some people helping her out and they're all friends who are like freelance florists helping out, like making a shit ton of fucking pieces out there, as the kids say.
That was the most straight thing I've ever heard. Yeah, you're some florist, some shit helping out with the thing and the guy.
I'm not the pinnacle of heterosexuality, but I will say a lot that's infused there is sort of a 90s stand-up feeling towards my wife taking over my entire apartment with flowers all the time. It's a little sitcom-y, my current life right now. I have like two gay guys and three women are like 8 feet away blasting Gaga and making corsages and fucking shit.
Are you sure you're not on Fire Island?
I wish. Dude, by the way, I went to Fire Island all the time growing up.
I've only been once. I need to go have like a... I've never had like a Fire Island experience. I should reach out to Joel Kim Booster because I feel like he goes and has the best time.
He certainly has done some research because his screenplay reflects...
Oh, I mean, obviously his movie too, which was great, by the way. If you've not seen it, you should see Fire Island.
So good.
But I never go because my only vacations I take are like Italy and then Italy. I just like being in the city. But I want to go. I want to go in like a house and like do the whole Fire Island thing. I just like I've never done it. And my close group of friends who are gay are all either in LA or like working drag queens. So no one really vacations a lot. And the one time I went to Fire Island was years ago. I mean, before like I could sell a single ticket and my friend was nice enough. He's like, I want to have you headline. We're going to do a performance at the Island Breeze in Cherry Grove.
Hell yeah.
I took the whole train, boat, went out there. My friend Alfredo, who bitched and moaned the entire time on the train ride. And then I get there. It's raining. It's two people in the audience. I'm bombing. And I remember being like, Taylor, give me a cigarette. And I literally smoked on stage, which, by the way, fabulous. I mean, I'm not a smoker, but But that is the one thing about Chappelle. I'm like, that's cool. I mean, because it's like
it's the one thing because it's a great punchline. It's a very easy punch.
Oh, it's so cool. You're sitting and smoking. It's so. But yeah, and then we slept over. But my friend Taylor only had a twin size bed. He's 6'4". My friend Alfredo is 6'4", and I'm 5'9". We all slept in the same bed. It was a nightmare.
That's awesome. By the way, just two guys named Mateo and Alfredo, who are two completely different heights, hitting Fire Island together is like a fucking comic strip. Like, that's fucking awesome.
Alfredo,
speaking of comic strip.
Sorry,
I just want, I meant to shout this out for listeners in case they don't know. Mateo is also a fucking hell of an illustrator. You draw the fuck, and you've drawn some of my crushes because you're a big X-Men head. So you've drawn some Jean Greys, and more specifically for me, Mon Cheri. I love Rogue.
You know what's funny about drawing is people hear that. They say, oh, you draw. That's nice. Now that I'm so far removed from that, because I worked 8 years as a professional storyboard artist for TV commercials and fashion illustrations. I lived in Italy painting. I went to the best art school in the country. Like, I was such a prodigy when it came to art. Like, I look at back at it now, I'm like, oh my god, like how talented I am. But then I'm like, I don't even draw anymore. Isn't that crazy?
I know, it's weird. Like, it's weird how parts, like, but also you're like a polymath. You sing opera, you draw like insanely well, and you're fucking funny as hell and buff. Like, that's a great
the buff thing's the most important, and I'd like that highlighted, please.
I know, unfortunately, in modern gay culture, it's like, he's a triple threat. He can do this. He can do this. He's got a six pack. Okay, sick. All right. He can come with us to Fire Island.
Every gay in New York City is a triple threat. Dancer, singer, actor. You know, it's like, I'm nothing new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
that's really funny you say that, because it sounds like you'd be perfect as a neighbor on a sitcom. Like, oh, Mateo's in the yard singing opera and drawing again. He's not, we don't ever talk about his sexuality, but he's alone.
I'm just in the yard like,
doing fucking hammer curls. With an easel.
I did hammer curls today.
Hell yeah, you gotta hit the brachiadoris here, whatever the fuck that is.
I know, but I have a bit of tendonitis, and do you want to know how I got it? From literally holding the mic too much on stage.
Oh, shit, dude.
Isn't that embarrassing?
You've got comedian's elbow. It's like tennis elbow, but even more embarrassing to talk
and
about.
And my friend Ethan said I probably have planter's foot because I'm like, oh, I guess I'm just standing all the time.
Oh, like, what? No.
I'm falling
you
apart.
You got to go full start. You got to start doing Chase Lounge comedy. You got to just bring like a little Chase Lounge on tour with you. And that's like your.
Oh, thing. I thought you meant like Michael Che. I was like, me and Michael Che are just going to sit back and
lounge together. You know what you need? Michael Che also performing alongside. No, dude, you'll be fine.
I don't even know how Joan Rivers did it. She was in her 80s in high heels, walking back and forth on that stage. I really just, that woman, fuck.
Yeah. Dude, you got to get some like prehab and rehab set up at home, like a Epsom bath foot, like a, you know, you got to start, you're getting older, brother. You got to start taking care of yourself in addition to just getting buff.
Do you know what I need? I need massages. I need acupuncture at least regularly. And I'm not doing that. So I work out and then just come home and play Zelda.
Oh, dude. I part of the reason why my computer was being wonky when I was first trying to log on was I forgot that I'm downloading Diablo 4 concurrently. So I had to.
Oh, my God. Is it out already? Because I had the demo.
You can pay $20 extra. You can pay $100 to have it as of yesterday. It comes out officially on June 6th. I just did. I'm so excited for it, but I realized I'm like, oh, wait, that's slowing my computer down. Of course, I can't have everything going at once. Yeah.
No, wait, do you not play? I mean, I'm so into Zelda Tears of the Kingdom right now.
I got so turned off by Breath of the Wild that.
Why?
I was having a really hard time with it, and I keep going, I'm not going to play Tears of the Kingdom until I go back and like play Breath of the Wild because I do want to play it. But now I'm like setting myself up for like I got to play six games before I'm always like 3 years behind everyone. I'm always like, dude, Ghost of Tsushima.
No,
and everyone's like, what?
No. I'm not. They're like, it's like kind of like Breath of the Wild. It's not. So and I love Tears of the Kingdom. I mean, I'm a huge Fortnite guy. I just play Fortnite with all my friends every single day. Actually, that got me through the pandemic. People were like, I don't know how we did it, and it was horrible. And I was like, I had fucking Fortnite. I was happy I was very happy.
I'll tell you what, the two kids I grew up hanging out with and playing video games with, who are now 41-year-old men, over the pandemic, we all re-downloaded Diablo 3, one of our favorite games of all time.
Very good game.
Put on FaceTime audio on a conference call and spent like 3 hours a week just catching up and playing video games. And now we're doing the same. We're all downloading Diablo 4 like as we speak.
For God's sakes, just get, I mean, don't you guys are all on PlayStation? You can get a PlayStation network or something and talk to each other on headphones?
Yes, we could do it officially that way. Now, and Diablo 4 is cross-platform, but before it was always on Battle.net, you know, you had to get through Blizzard. Now it's a console. Diablo 4 is also on the console. So I've only ever played it keyboard and mouse, so I'm very
intrigued. Then you'll remember this. What was the game? It wasn't Call of Duty.
Command and Conquer.
No. We played it at cyber internet cafes, bunch of computers, and it was like shooting game, like first-person shooter game.
Okay, hold on.
It would have been like 2001.
There was tons of those popular shooter games back then. Oh, fuck.
Hold on. I gotta look.
Do a little research.
Hold on. First person shooter.
I forget what it was called. There were so many, and then like it became super popular for a long time. Like it's still, people still compete doing it.
Not Black, Team Forces, Unreal Tournament, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Left 4 Dead, Time
Not
Splitters,
Battlefield.
Return to Castle Wolf, Portal,
Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike! Thank you.
Yes.
Counter-Strike.
And Counter-Strike is, I'm sure listeners, by the way, the nerds that are listening are going, Counter-Strike! Counter-Strike! While they're doing the dishes or while they're commuting or...
But do you remember, because we're the same age, do you remember people going to cyber, like, internet cafes, playing Counter-Strike all day long?
Bro, I had a game in 2001, I would have been a sophomore in college, I had a gaming PC where, like, the side was open and had a black light inside of it, and, like, it glue, and then I would go to LAN parties, local area network parties, where you bring your computer and your monitor and you hook them all up together and played games that way because it was way faster than over the internet. Now the internet's fast enough that you could play like real time RTSs, real time strategy, like StarCraft.
I love that you had to preface that people don't bring their whole computer with them to go play with other friends anymore. Now, I was a big Game Boy, like Pokemon, Red, Yellow, Blue, Gold, Silver, Crystal, Sapphire, Ruby, Emerald. Those games sucked up my life for like 7 years, and it was every minute of it was enjoyable.
Ah, dude, I used to be able to chart like my life on like, oh, that was the summer that Final Fantasy came out. Oh, yes. this was the year that I was into. Freshman year of college was Age of Empires. Sophomore year of college was Diablo. Senior year of college was what was it? I played World of Warcraft. I played all the fucking games, but like for huge chunks of my life that it kind of was like when people would be like, oh yeah, that was the 2 years I dated so-and-so. For me, it'd be like, that was the 2 years I played that fucking League of Legends nonstop or whatever.
Seventh grade would have been GoldenEye. Eighth grade would have been Pokemon Blue.
Yeah, GoldenEye was like 2 years of high school for me. Like truly.
X-Men Legends was a game that fucking changed my life too. My cousin Brian and I played, when I say hours of X-Men Legends, where you could play as your own X-Men character, and they like, oh, that game was a fucking plus. I wish they would remake it.
I wish they would like update that game big time. That would be really fun to play. Right?
Because the last Marvel Ultimate Alliance fucking sucked.
I downloaded it. I did not enjoy it at all.
Hated every minute of it. It was late. It was the laziest. Like Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, I got that game. Everyone at Pokemon should be fired. That Pokemon makes more money than Disney, and the game wasn't finished.
That sucks.
It was awful. It was an awful game.
I missed Pokemon. Pokemon came out when I was still a geek, but Pokemon came out and was like aimed a little bit younger than me, and that just turned me off for life. I never played any Pokemon Game Boy games.
Because you would have been almost a senior, and I was in eighth grade.
Yeah,
so
I was playing Magic the Gathering when Pokemon cards came out, and I was like, that's for kids.
Oh, because
Magic the Gathering's for intellectual 16-year-olds.
Right,
the coolest of the cool.
you dumb faggots are playing Pokemon Red. Come on, Magic the Gathering, let's go. Like,
get on your bikes and your pegs and get away from these dorks.
Oh, pegs, remember pegs? Oh, my God.
Man, does that have a different meaning these days?
Well, you know, I enjoy both.
You know what? I still enjoy a ride on both.
I do. I really do.
My most recent game I played, I just beat God of War Ragnarok for PS5. That was a fun play.
I've not played God of War. And I don't, I mean, I'm just so addicted to, there's only so much time.
Right. You know, agreed.
The benefit of the Switch, though, is like, because I fly so much, you know, I can play Zelda on a flight, a 5-hour flight, and the flight is done.
Dude, a little edible, a little noise canceling headphones, and your fucking Switch, and flights just evaporate, dude. I know you don't do drugs, but for me.
I know, but I have to go to Australia in September. I'm doing a tour there. So I'm coming out to Los Angeles first to kind of cut the travel time. I'll hang out in LA, do a couple shows, and then I'm flying to Los Angeles. I told my doctor, said, you will be writing me a prescription for sleeping pills because I refuse. I'm going to eat my meal, take my pill, die, and wake up in Australia.
Wake up down under, mate. When you come out here, I'll come see you do a show, or if you're hitting the gym, let's go.
Let's go to the gym.
I'll guest pass you at my gym. I work out at a gym in a private club in WeHo that is, I'm, you know, a one of the five straight guys that works out there. So
is it a nice gym? Because I usually go to the Equinox in WeHo.
Oh, that's a great gym too. Mine is pretty nice too. It's like a capped membership, so you can't like someone can't join until someone else leaves, which is really cool. Fun because then it never gets too crowded, but then people are also training people there, so then it's like, yes, there's not that many people here, but if four people are training four people, that's eight people rather than just four people lifting. You know what, I'm just complaining, but when you come, we'll have a good time.
Okay,
before I get you out of here and before we start telling people where they can find your special, what's your favorite not like your favorite singular pasta dish you ever had, but like a go-to pasta dish that you're like, If I'm not sure what I'm getting and I'm at this place and they have blank, that's what I'm getting.
Look, I have to answer this question with specifics.
Please do.
A restaurant called Zio Umberto in Trastevere, a Roma. I get bucatini alla matriciana.
What's that?
Bucatini alla matriciana is one of the famous four Roman dishes. So it's bucatini, which literally means little hole.
Yeah.
It's the pasta with
that's
the hole.
That's like the long penne. Yeah, the long floppy penne.
Right. But very like, it's like spaghetti with a hole.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
like, you know. And then it's a red sauce cooked with guanciale. Guanciale is this part of
pork
the pig.
Jaw.
Not pancetta. Guanciale with pecorino romano cheese.
That sounds fucking great. I love a pasta with guanciale. My go-to is like the sausage rapini and tagliatelle or however they do it. Like a go-to like Italian.
Tagliatelle.
Okay. Tagliatelle.
There you go.
With rapini.
Sì.
Ciao. Grazie. Grazie mille. That's all I kept saying when I went to Tuscany was grazie mille to everyone as I got fed. I was like, everything, oh, fucking great food. I got to go back to somewhere. I got to go to Naples. If I go to Naples, will you give me a bunch of recos?
I will, but good luck.
It's crazy there.
Yeah.
I'm like, has anyone seen where my great grandma's from? And I'm just getting fucking mugged and everyone's roasting me.
Yeah.
Okay, might be fun. All right, Mateo, enough about me and my stupid adventures. Tell me about your stupid adventure. Well, tell more specifically my listeners about your stupid adventures. Where can they find your fucking special? Where's it hitting? When? I think this episode will come out after your special does, so we'll have it linked in the show notes so you can click it
Perfect.
Right in the phone. But tell my listeners about it a little bit anyway.
Yeah, watch my special. It's called Hair Plugs and Heartache. Isn't that great?
It's fucking awesome. I'm sold. I'm in. I was in just by who the person was doing it, aka you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it'll be out June 11th on my YouTube page, which is YouTube and Tao Lane Comedy. And it's easy to find. I mean, you go to YouTube and type in Mateo Lane stand up and you'll find it.
Right. Or if you're listening to this on the podcast and want to watch it right now, take out your phone, open up show notes, click Mateo Lane's name or special, the link, and boom, you're watching it. And subscribe and comment, yay, and give it like a thumbs up or whatever. Do all the shit do all the metric stuff. And watch it as well, but do all the metric stuff. Like
do all the algorithm shit, please.
Yeah. Rock the algo, baby. Fuck rocking the vote. Rock the algo. And what's your Instagram handle if people want to see?
Oh, Mateo Lane for Instagram and TikTok. MatteoLane.
Hell fucking yeah. Mateo, this was a real pleasure catching up, man. It was good to
Thank
see
you. So nice to talk to you.
As for listeners, you know where to check me out. Action Boys is my other podcast. And 101 Places to Party Before You Die is still on something called Max. I'm recording this in advance, so hopefully it's still there. Bye, shitheads!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it. Do it.
Come on. Do it now.